an awful lot of stuff has gone through my head in the last few days. I mean, what in the world did I talk about? And I still am not exactly sure. But I remember coming here to Kentucky in approximately 1994 for my first Young People's Weekend. I don't remember much about it. But sitting here, looking at all you young people, and singing, and just sort of brought me back. And I wonder, is this your first attending of Young People's? Anybody at all? If you don't have to raise your hand, you probably don't want to. I wouldn't want it to you, but that's okay. I came to Young People's the first time when I was approximately 13. My older brother, Dan, wouldn't let me go when I was almost 13. I was really excited to be able to go and, like, be one of those big kids, right? And 20 years later, I was still going to Young People's. Some of you aren't that old. I wasn't expecting to be going to Young People's for 20 years. And I had a blast. I gotta say, I don't exactly envy you guys. I've been there, I've gone through that stage of my life, and I've got an awful lot of really good memories, made a lot of really good friends, some of them are your parents. It was really good for me to be able to be with other people approximately my own age. And, you know, quite often we didn't, I mean, the reason that we're here is because of Jesus. Because of what he's done. And our parents have dragged us to things like this, these conferences and stuff, when before we had any desire, I assume. And it's a good thing for us to be here. Usually. There's a few times it wasn't a good thing for me to be at certain places. But generally, it's a good thing for believers to come together. And some of you probably aren't believers. It's a good thing for you to be here. I spent a lot of time hanging out with your dad, and I just pointed out a few others here. And we had a lot of fun. A lot of times doing things we shouldn't have been doing. And we had a lot of really good interaction. And a lot of worthless interaction. There's a lot of times that we spent together where, you know, the attitude was, well, you know, you're a good little Christian, I'm a good little Christian, so let's talk about whatever. I don't know what we'll talk about, but I just want to encourage you. I'm not trying to discourage you here at all. Let me put that out there in case I'm giving the wrong idea. I really, really want to encourage you and tell you that you are loved. You're cared about. You didn't get dragged here, you know, because you're not loved. You didn't get invited here because you're not loved. I know that there's a lot of people that invite folks to conferences and sometimes the young people come and they really concerned about what the young people are going to do. Someone said today, and I think one of the meetings, maybe it was one of the talks, in lunch, I can't remember. What is it? Experience. Someone tell me, don't interrupt if they know where I'm going. Let's see. Good judgment comes from mistakes, which come from bad judgment, right? Okay. We all have to make decisions in our lives, and you guys are in a stage of life where it's really not fair. You got a lot of decisions to make, and you haven't got the experience to make. I want to encourage you to do what's not, doesn't come naturally. Ask for help. Go to people that have been through it, even though they might look like doofuses, act like them. You know what? People that are older than you, they've been there. Not everyone's been through every situation, but I haven't done near as much of it as I should have. But go ask for help. Go ask for advice. You've got a problem. You've got some issue you're going through. You are not the first one. Not by a really, really long shot. I want to share with you some verses that have made a difference in my life. The Lord's really used, and might go off on different tangents. But first let's look at Philippians chapter 2. See if I can even find it. Whenever I stand up to talk, I get all nervous and can't even think which way to flip to get to this spirit. Philippians chapter 2, and verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. This is my favorite verse. God's really used it in my life. Think about it. You know, I've spent a lot of time in my life trying to, I really like to do things myself. I don't like people to help me out. I like to figure it out. And, it doesn't work in a lot of life. And in general, we can't. Talking about overall the big picture of us before God, that's just me telling God to get to one side, I'm going to take care of this and show you how good I can do it. God works in us. It is God which works in us both to will and to do. Back up one verse. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in both the will and the do of his good pleasure. Now, people that know more than me have told me the work in verse 12, work out your own salvation, is the idea of like working soil, cultivating. But I'm just going to write, I'm going to use that word, cultivate your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you. Think about that. I've turned over enough new leaves to strip of woods. And yet, when I sit back, in a sense, stop trying to do things in my own strength, and say, God, I can't do this. But you said you can. And I'm going to trust you on this. For it is God which worketh in you. And that's not cultivate, that's just work. It is God which worketh in you both to will. God will give you the desire. And it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do. Sometimes we have a desire, a good desire, and we don't find the strength to go through it, to follow through. Looking in the wrong place. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And I mean that to be an encouragement. There's lots of things in my life which I've thought I've given over to God, only to take it back. One of my favorite, before you, there was another website that was not well known, and there was these videos, and in these videos, people would be driving along the road, they'd have some problem, and they'd press the button, and I would pop this monkey, and they'd change the tire, and whatever, and then there'd be a high five, and the monkey would get back in the trunk. God is not a trunk monkey. And you treat him like that. I used to be a mechanic, and I think of, I like word pictures, so let's say my wife is a car, I'm on a road trip, I love road trips. I see the Lord. He wants in on my life. He wants to get in. That's not the right way of looking at it, but that's the way I look at it a lot of times. He's on the side of the road, wants in. Pull over, let him in on the passenger side. Where do you want to go? And we go there. And things are going well. After a while, I'm tired of going where he wants me to go, but I'm just gonna go over here and just be quiet for a while. And next thing you know, I'm in a bad section of town. I'm lost. I don't know what to do. Jesus, take the wheel. He helps out. And this is just a word picture, but how quickly I want to say, I saw what you did there. I got it figured out. Just give me that wheel back now, right? I need to get in trouble. My life is not my own. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let's look at another verse earlier in Philippians. Philippians 1. And verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. Not by your good efforts, by Jesus Christ. He is the gift of the Lord. He provides the will. It's his will that we're supposed to be doing, right? And he provides the strength. I remember coming to a lot of young people get-togethers, and I wasn't cool, popular, or particularly outgoing. I tended to, actually for the first few years, stand against the wall and glare at everybody. In my head, just stare at anybody. Show me that they care. That's what I was saying in my head. Let's see if anybody here actually cares enough to call my bluff. Come talk to me. Very few people did. You know what? Everybody. All of us. No matter how put together we might look to others or even to ourselves, everybody has insecurity. We all have things that we're not sure about. And we all have hard things to deal with. And you know what? The sooner we realize that the person that we're afraid to talk to really needs a friend, needs a brother, just as much as I do, better. Relationships are really, really important. I had maybe you look up a quote. I read a book by A.W. Tozer, and I'm just wondering, there's a few just thoughts I want to put across. There's a book called The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. I can recommend it. You sell it at BTP in case that helps. And the first chapter got one quote in there that I really, really enjoyed it. So I took a picture off of Amy's phone and searched up the quote for me. This is it. Might read it a few times, okay? I won't take the rest of the night. The continuous and unembarrassed interchange of love and thought between God and I'll just cut it off to save your soul. Continuous and unembarrassed. What would it be like if, say, I knew all of your secrets and you knew mine, and we weren't afraid to talk about it? God knows every detail of your life. And you don't know every detail of my life. I don't know every detail of your life. And we put up all these walls that, well, I'm not going to go here because I'm afraid what you'll think if I say that. God knows every detail. Don't put up those barriers. Take them down. Let God come on in. Take it in every corner. He wants a continuous and unembarrassed interchange with the Father. You're embarrassing too. You know how I do that. They're not perfect. You're not perfect. But God's given them to you to be a help. And the more we put up barriers, the less they can be a help. When me and my friends stayed up really late, you know, and there you are, Liz, you know, inhibitions come down a little bit. That's when we had some really, really good chats. Sometimes we talked about stuff we're afraid to talk about, you know, maybe lunch at a conference, but having good friends and being honest with each other, we all need God just as much as anybody else. We all need friends to tell us the truth. Very, very grateful for friends. Most of them that I made in groups like this who told me the truth, encouraged me, and corrected me. Loving me.